Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Now, it's time to go deep for the exclusive info you need on the hockey team you love. This is Preds Insiders with your host, Ryan Porth.
Brought to you by Cool Springs Laser Dentistry, Wyatt Jones and Ford, and Geno's East.
On your flagship home of the Predators Radio Network, Smashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Welcome into a special edition of Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Ryan Porth here with you. Yes, special edition, Friday edition, as we are getting you set for game one of the qualifying round between the Nashville Predators and Arizona Coyotes coming up Sunday afternoon up in the hub city of Edmonton. All of the Stanley Cup playoff action beginning tomorrow with five qualifying round games starting at 11 a.m. and ending probably around midnight. It's going to have a March Madness feel. And joining us here on Preds Insiders this evening is Willie Donick, Preds TV voice and co-host of Darren Donick and Chase. Willie, how are we doing this evening?
Doing well. Ready for this August Madness.
It certainly is going to feel like it. And you look at the schedule and the fact that these games are being played in the same cities, it truly does feel like the NCAA tournament.
It does. And I was watching the Arizona Coyotes broadcast last night and today. I taped the game. It was kind of funny. They were promoting all of the stuff. Of course, now, you know, out in Arizona, you have the Diamondbacks playing, so you have baseball going on. The NBA is going on. And so they described it as sports. It's like drinking out of a fire hose right now. We've gone from zero to the fire hose in just a matter of days here. So this is going to be an exciting month.
It really is. And it didn't start yesterday because it's still July, the first and maybe only victory the Preds will ever get in the month of July. Yesterday, 2-0 over the Dallas Stars in the exhibition game as the one tune-up before the Arizona Coyotes' best-of-five qualifying round series. So I want to hit on the exhibition game before we have a deep dive into Preds-Coyotes here in just a little bit. But yesterday's exhibition game, Willie, I thought was arguably the most important game under John Hines that the Nashville Predators have played, given the circumstances, and that it was the only tune-up for this best-of-five against Arizona. And I thought they came out flying. I thought they looked really good, especially in the first two periods of yesterday's game. And if you're the Nashville Predators, you have to feel really good about the effort that you put out there and the result, given that it was your only shot at knocking off the rust before the playoffs.
I think no matter what would have happened, they would have rationalized it however they needed to, because the bottom line is it's an exhibition game. But I do think it had a lot of good feeling to it. It had you had a lot of belief in the system going on. You had a lot of good players playing with confidence. You had guys defending. You had guys blocking shots. They were trying to ratchet up the intensity, the commitment level that they needed to. John Hines talked about how he wanted to see guys not dip their toe in the water, but jump right in there. And I thought they clearly did, and I thought Dallas was the team that was more dipping their toe in the water. And they're in a different place. Dallas doesn't have to have immediate success. They've got time to find their game. And I think that was evident in the first period. And by the time Dallas matched Nashville's intensity, it was too late.
Yeah, and one thing that really stood out to me yesterday was the star of the game for the Nashville Predators, and that was Victor Arvidsson. And Victor Arvidsson is a player that we have been talking a lot about throughout the summer once we knew the format, once we knew that hockey was scheduled to come back around this time. And Victor Arvidsson was a player that we thought was going to greatly benefit from that season pause physically because of the beating that he took throughout the 19-20 regular season. And yesterday, I thought he looked really good, and John Hines thought so as well postgame.
John, from your vantage point, how noticeable has Arvidsson's speed been throughout training camp and now through this game action here compared to what he was dealing with in the regular season?
Yeah, I hadn't had a chance to see the speed that he's played with in training camp and in today's game. In January and February, he was fighting a little bit and coming back off the injury, but you can see how quick he is up the ice, and even in tight little small spaces. His forecheck, his hunting, his tracking, he closes time and space quick, and his puck recovery ability in 50-50 puck battles was there. So, you know, it's really nice to see him back and playing the way that he can play with the speed that he that makes him a real special player.
That was John Hines yesterday after the game. Victor Arvidsson scoring both goals for the Preds in a 2-0 win over the Stars. And Willie, I thought that it was telling right there from John Hines when he said that he hasn't seen Victor Arvidsson play with the speed that he has seen so far in training camp in the exhibition game.
Yeah, the same thing jumped out at me when I was listening to his comments there last night after the game. And I think beyond that, the chemistry and the enthusiasm of being back with Philip Forsberg and Ryan Johansson is evident as well. And I think they go into the series as hopeful as you can be that they can click. I think that's a lot. You know, the hopefulness, we had David Poile on our show today on Darren Donick and Chase, and I asked David Poile about that very thing because there's been a little bit of cloud of uncertainty, a little bit of uneasiness going in, even though the team has done a lot of winning over the last couple of years. There's been that what's wrong kind of feeling a lot. I think they've alleviated a lot of that in a short period of time here, and we'll see what that's worth. It may not be worth anything. That feeling could come right back if they have a poor performance in game one, but I think they're in a good mental place right now, and I think Arvidsson's a good example. I think the Jofa line's a good example, and I think there's other things you can point to as well.
Well, and the chemistry and the synergy that those three had, the Jofa line, up until really the 2019 postseason against the Dallas Stars, when those three were very unproductive in that six-game series against the Stars, really up until that point, you could make an argument that they were easily one of the top five lines in the National Hockey League. And then for whatever reason, at the start of the playoffs and into this past regular season where they didn't spend a lot of time together, that chemistry didn't seem to be the same. But in yesterday's exhibition game, and I know it's just, quote, only an exhibition game, but it's arguably the biggest exhibition game that they will have ever played, and they looked like they were in midseason form at times.
It had a different importance than your normal exhibition game. I do think Dallas approached it more like a normal exhibition game because those round-robin games do have a different level. It means something, but not everything. I think it was I take more out of a performance yesterday, but I kind of expected at the end of the game, I think Dallas has an easier time saying, hey, that's an exhibition game. If Nashville had played poorly in that game, I think they would have not felt as good about it because they know everything counts on Sunday. So I agree with you. I think you have to look a little closer. I keep coming back to something John Hines said to Darren and Chase the other day, that I'm going by today's news. I'm not going by yesterday's news. Those 70 games that everybody played before the break, they mean something. I waited accordingly. But since people have come back to camp, I'm watching from that point on, and I'm going by today's news.
Yeah, and speaking on the Jofa line specifically, Philip Forsberg was asked about it after the game and why he felt that they were clicking so well in the game.
I mean, I can speak for myself only, but I'm assuming that Harvey, Joe, Dutchie, a couple guys feel the same way. But we're all disappointed a little bit how we played personally, individually. So I think this break has been, it's been good, just like I said, for me, a good refresher, kind of just take my mind off hockey, kind of take a step back and look at it a little differently. And just coming back here, I was just really, really excited to first of all, to be able to get going. And then, like we said, putting back with Joe and Arv, it was like that chemistry was there from day one, and that just increased the excitement even more. And from that on, I think that was the biggest thing. Everybody just got to come back with a little bit of a different mindset of refreshed, both body and, but for me, I think it was more of a mentally refresh like that. And whatever happened was feels like a couple of seasons ago now when we last played, and we're all starting fresh, and it's been fun so far.
That was Philip Forsberg yesterday after the win. Willie, anything stand out there to you from what Philip Forsberg had to say?
I think the mental break. I think it sounds to me like all of the players that were feeling the heat, feeling the disappointment. And I don't know if it's even more feeling the heat from the fans or the coaches or the media as much as their own expectations of themselves, right? I think Philip Forsberg and Matt Duchene and Ryan Johansson, they have a lot of pride in what they've done. And when they're not up to their own standard, I think it's frustrating. And it definitely was wearing on them during the season. And so that definitely was something I was paying attention to, as Philip said that, saying, you know, taking a step back and clearing the decks and then coming back determined, hopefully will be a good thing. And that I had one word come into my mind as I've been watching Johansson, Forsberg, and Arvidsson working together. Enthusiasm. They seem to have a lot of vigor, a lot of joy, a lot of enthusiasm. And it is showing on the ice, both scrimmages and then that exhibition game yesterday. So hopefully there's a carryover.
For sure. And we all know how important a carryover can be with game one against the Arizona Coyotes. Before we get to that series, Willie, do you look into at all the amount of ice time that was doled out to some of the bubble players? You know, I guess some people would have taken yesterday's lineup, the fact that you had an extra forward and an extra D-man, as, okay, maybe the last spot on the fourth line is coming down to Colin Blackwell and Austin Watson. Austin Watson getting more ice time, as you would probably expect in yesterday's exhibition game. And then the third pair on D, Jared Tinordin getting over 16 minutes of ice time, over 4 minutes of shorthanded ice time, and then Yannick Weber finding more ice time than Dan Hamhuis. Do you look into those ice time numbers as a sign that maybe Weber gets the nod over Hamhuis on the third pair and that Watson gets the nod over Blackwell on the fourth line?
I'm not sure about that one. I do think that I would lean that way, but I don't know. I think it's the quality and not as much the quantity when they go back and look through. I think it's clear that Tinordi is a really good fit, and I think that penalty kill time is telling us a lot, that I think he's in the plans on that. I think he's a much better fit for John Hines' system. So I think the coaches probably have to have some discussions about who matches up best with Tinordi at 5-on-5 and who maybe is going to be more of a specialist. Because here's something. We were talking to Terry Crisp today. We were having our little powwow getting ready for our television broadcast. And he said, look, in a five-game series, a coach, he says his tendency would be to take his horses and play them a lot, which is a little, you know, tricky because, you know, these guys haven't played a lot of games. They're fresh, but you hope that they can handle the ratcheting up of minutes. But I think it's an interesting strategy that I want to see if each coach, really, we've got a lot of series that we can watch, right? Which coaches decide to take a Joffe line or a great first defense pair like Josi and Ellis and try to ratchet up more minutes for them? The Predators were a much more balanced attack during the regular season, especially with their forwards. Statistically, then a lot of experts, a lot of analytics people were saying, you know, they should ride the top players more. But there were a lot of issues as to why they didn't do that. But the way they had the line set up, I am curious to see how much they play the Johansson line and how much, you know, they weight the minutes towards the top players.
Just to wrap things up on the exhibition game, UC Saros and Pecorine combining for that shutout, 25 saves combined, 12 for Saros, 13 for Pecorine. Pecorine probably saw a lot more high-danger chances against than UC Saros did, but the fact that UC Saros did get the start and did keep the puck out of the net, to me, Willie, tells me that he's probably going to get the start in Game 1 against the Arizona Coyotes on Sunday.
I think that's the consensus of what people are seeing. There's, you know, I think flat out it would surprise me if it weren't UC Saros. The way they have played throughout the camp, the way they have rolled things out to this point. And it's sort of the luck of the draw. If you're splitting the game, you know, the goalie can't control how many top chances, how many mid-range chances, how many shots come his way. You know, I thought overall the Predators played outstanding defense throughout the game. There was the little blip when Pecorine first came in the game, and I would argue probably the two or three best chances that Dallas had all game happened right there. And Rene made all of the saves. But other than that little blip, Dallas got very little in terms of high quality. But I thought both goalies given those circumstances, still looked very sharp. So Soros did nothing to alter, I think, what has been planned. That's just the sense I'm getting. I haven't talked to anybody about it. I have no secret news or anything like that. And David Poile today made it a point. He said, you know, they're just for strategy purposes, they're not going to let it out until they absolutely have to. But in saying that, I think he was basically saying they've known for a while who their starter is. So all the signs seem to point to UC Soros for game one. But it's a really good feeling to know that both look very confident. Both look like they're sharp. And you might need to use both before it's all over, and you probably will.
So looking ahead to the Arizona series, the Arizona Coyotes also had their exhibition game last night, lost 4-1 to the Vegas Golden Knights. Nick Schmaltz got drilled in the head by Ryan Reeves. Thought it was a bit across the line from Ryan Reeves, the hit on Nick Schmaltz. We'll see if Reeves receives any sort of disciplinary action for that hit. But that could be a key storyline to watch moving forward into game one on Sunday, whether or not Nick Schmaltz plays for the Arizona Coyotes, a key center there for the Coyotes. I was not impressed last night by the Arizona Coyotes. Don't want to put too much stock into exhibition games when you look at how well the Preds played and how poorly the Coyotes played in the first 40 minutes before deciding to wake up there in the last period against Vegas. I do feel a little better about the series, though, after watching the Preds in their tune-up and watching the Coyotes in their tune-up.
And that's a dangerous trap. You can't get too much into that because it can fool you in a hurry. For example, remember Dallas comes into the game, they announce before the game Tyler Seguin's not playing. That he will be ready for the round robin, but he's not going to go. It just shows you maybe the level of importance they put on that game. Vegas, on the other hand, they didn't have Max Pacioretty. So, it's not like they had their whole time out there. But I saw a lot of really good hockey from Vegas. That's a very, very good team. I thought they played with a lot more purpose than Dallas did.
They did, and they're in the same position. I mean, they both know they are going to be in the playoffs. They have the round robin coming up. And Arizona and Nashville were in the same position where they're going up against a team that was bound to be in the round robin. And their exhibition game was the final tune-up. So I did find that to be interesting that Arizona came out so lackadaisical in the first period, whereas the Preds came out guns a-blazing.
Yeah, it was polar opposite. You're right. I mean, it is a storyline. Whether it ends up being significant or not, the Coyotes have to come out of that game not happy with how they sit. Some things that they've got to get fixed. They had a poor first period. Their special teams let them down. And until there were about 12 minutes left in the game, they only had 13 shots. Now, does some of that have to do with Vegas? Yeah. And remember, Vegas had a great feeling. They were streaking into the pause, right? They were peaking, looking great, whereas Dallas was sagging going into the pause. So, you know, Dallas has got a little bit of self-doubt right now. They've got that feeling of what's wrong, whereas Vegas has got to be feeling great about everything right now. So where does that leave the Coyotes? I do think that they've got to sort some things out. Phil Kessel didn't have a dynamic game. Taylor Hall scored a goal late on the power play, which kind of gave them life late in the game. But we come back to the same thing. It's an exhibition game. Right, it doesn't matter. Maybe if nothing else, it could motivate them to a better urgency, a better start in the next game. So, you know, as a coach or as that mental side of things, as an athlete, I think you probably just use whatever it is for motivation. But I think, Ryan, you're right to point out it is something that everybody is going to be paying attention to. Well, Predators look very sharp in their tune-up. Arizona did not.
And watching that game last night, and look, again, exhibition game, but the way Vegas was playing and having Arizona on their heels for much of the first 40 minutes and the fact that Vegas' speed was giving Arizona problems, the forecheck was keeping the Coyotes in their own zone. I mean, the Predators have a lot of the same traits that the Vegas Golden Knights have in terms of being able to forecheck when they're on their A game. Now, when the Preds aren't forechecking, that's when they're at their worst and when they're on their heels. But if the Preds can put the Coyotes on their heels and forecheck them and force turnovers from a Coyotes defense that is solid but not great, I think that's going to lend to the Predators really capitalizing in this series.
Time will tell. I think let's wind it back even further than the game itself, the exhibition game. The tone I was hearing from the Arizona broadcast was that Rick Tocchet a few times was saying, I need more. He didn't like how the first scrimmage went. He called some people out from his team. I need more. I think he's been searching for more, trying to get that intensity ratcheted up. In hearing what John Hines said, who I don't think he's making it up, right? I think he would say honestly what he's thought, just like Rick Tocchet. He hasn't had to do that. And once again, once they drop the puck for game one, none of that really means anything. But I think if you continue along the same path, you have confidence, you have belief that you're clicking. And if you can feed off of that, that can get you off to a good start in the series. And we know how important that is in a five-game series.
Yeah, I did the math a couple weeks ago with Major League Baseball's divisional series, because that's a best of five. And the winner of game one wins the series 70% of the time in Major League Baseball in that best of five. Whereas in a best of seven in the NHL, it's about 66%. So not a huge difference, but it does show you the importance of winning game one. And we've seen it all the time in Major League Baseball, Willie, where if you have a hot team that wins game one and puts the other team on their heels, a lot of times that series is over in a flash. It's over in three or four games because it's hard to get that momentum back in such a short series.
I'm really curious about that. This is going to be a great test case with the format, the environment with no crowd, no travel. Hal Gill was talking about a five-game series, but how do you account for, in terms of the history, right? How do you account for the fact that nobody travels, mm-hmm. right? What factor does that have on the team that wins the first game or loses the first game? I got a feeling that we might see some stuff that keep us twisting and turning. I would not be surprised. I said this on the show. I think somebody's going to come back from down 2-0 in this round. I think the teams are that evenly matched. I think you're going to see swings in momentum. It's not like a team is going to go down 2-0 and then have their home crowd rally them and change the whole tone of the series. We've seen plenty of series in sports where games look a certain way in one building, then it goes to the other building and everything changes.
Mm-hmm.
All these games are being played in the same building. So what factor will that be?
And there's not much separation.
That's what makes us all curious. I think it's going to be we know it's a salary cap league, right? I think every single team is capable of beating the other. That is true every year, even with the home advantage, with Columbus over Tampa and Nashville over Chicago a couple of years ago. Every year there's examples like that. I think this year will be no different.
I'm going to go out and make a prediction right now that there are zero sweeps in the first round, in this qualifying round.
Okay. I think there might be a sweep in there. I think we were going to see a little bit of everything. But I do think there will be plenty of teams. I don't know how many, but there'll be multiple teams that lose the first game and come back and win the series.
That is Willie Donick, Preds TV voice and co-host of Darren Donick and Chase. Weekdays 10 to 2 on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Willie, thank you so much, as always, for joining me here on Preds Insiders. And we have been waiting and waiting and waiting ever since they announced it right after Memorial Day, this format, and it's finally here. Sunday, 1 o'clock, it's go time. Can't wait.
Turn the fire hose on.
Can't wait for some brunch and some playoff hockey in August. It's so unique but so fun at the same time. Willie, have a great weekend. Have a great call Sunday, and we'll see how it plays out.
It's going to be a blast. Thanks.
Later on in the show, I will get to my prediction for this series between the Predators and the Coyotes. But coming up next, it is Jeff Merrick of Sportsnet. Jeff always has a lot of great insight, not only on the Nashville Predators, but the sport as a whole. He's a hockey junkie just like I am. Always enjoy the conversations with Jeff Merrick. He's coming up next right here on Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Pop, pop. Welcome back into Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Ryan Porth here in the Wholesale Inc. studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Joined by one of my favorites to join the show is Jeff Merrick of Sportsnet up north of the border. Jeff, how are we doing this evening?
Ryan, how you doing, pal? We're almost getting there. Hey, 6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6-6. You gonna sleep tonight, or is it gonna be like Christmas Eve for you?
I'm probably gonna sleep well tonight because it's been a little bit of a long week with just gearing up for everything. But I think tomorrow night, Saturday night, is gonna be the night where I'm not gonna be able to sleep. Just a few hours before the Preds take on the Coyotes, because the Coyotes and Preds are playing matinee hockey on Sunday. I love it.
I know. It's just like, you look at the way that the schedule is laid out too, it looks fantastic. Like, it's kind of one of the hidden luxuries, which is really a scam in a lot of ways, that we have working in the hockey industry, is that legitimately we can say tomorrow and Sunday, sorry, hon, can't do that, have to work. Really all we're doing is sitting in our living room or basement or cave or wherever, garage, watching the hockey games. Pretty good life, hey Ryan?
Yes, it does. It beats work for a living, or working for a living, I should say. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and it should be fun. You know, the opening round really isn't the opening round, but it's a different kind. It's the play-in. We all know the qualifier. And I mean, I grew up watching best of five series in the opening rounds in the NHL. I'm going to sound like Grandpa Simpson here. You know, the Onion Belt, which was the style of the time. But I loved it. Because that first game is so important. Like, you lose the first game, already you're in trouble, and it's desperation hockey the rest of the way. So I know everybody loves the best of seven, but count me in on this opening round being best of five, because those teams that go down 1-0, let alone 2-2, which will happen, it always makes for entertaining game twos.
Jeff Merrick of Sportsnet is here with us on Preds Insiders. And considering that, and considering the uniqueness of this tournament and this playoff format, how much stock did you put into what you saw in the exhibition games, considering that was the only tune-up these teams had for the qualifying round?
Yeah, not so much for teams, Ryan, but for individual players. Like, you know, I think of a player like in Toronto, Morgan Riley, the defenseman who was, you know, injured for pretty much the entire season, came back that one game right before the pause against the Tampa Bay Lightning, and then has been, you know, rehabbing and working out and getting his strength back. And he looked fantastic against the Montreal Canadiens, probably the best player on the ice. And an even better example is probably Braden Point in Tampa. That line with Palat, Kucherov, and Point, you know, torching Florida for 10 points. Point had a pair of goals. He's skating like Connor McDavid. And, you know, we tend to forget, here's someone that last offseason had double hip surgery, wasn't able to lift, wasn't able to get his strength, didn't have the best of all possible seasons. But now, with the past four and a half months, he's been able to get himself into NHL game shape. And man, did he ever look good 2 days ago against the Florida Panthers in the afternoon. So not so much for team play. You sort of have a look and try to draw some conclusions, because, listen, you saw some of these games. It's broken play, broken play, broken play, broken play, whistle.
Yeah.
It's a lot of that. It's still rusty hockey. You know, it looks like hockey that's played in October, because this is their first chance at it in 4.5 months. But I'm more curious, you know, which players have been able to either heal up, rest up, get their strength, and we're starting to see an improved version of them. I can take more from players than teams in this brief one-week-long exhibition schedule.
Sure, and a lot of Preds fans today are really excited about what they saw out of Victor Arvidsson yesterday, scoring 2 goals.
Scored goals, finally. Where have they been?
I know. Well, ever since Robert Portuzo, did a hack job to his back, Victor Arvidsson just hasn't been the same. But he's another example of what you're talking about. And, you know, I kind of feel like this break for the individuals who were banged up all season long is going to lend to them being healthy, which in turn I think is going to provide an exciting brand of hockey, whether it's sloppy or not.
It will. And once the teams get, once you get through this preliminary round, and again, there's going to be attrition because it's playoff hockey. So I think we're naive to think there's not going to be any injuries, but generally, You know, by the time we get through this, and these are best of five series, you're going to have healthy teams getting into that 16-team format that we're all accustomed to. And you're right. It's not as if, you know, they've just gone through 82 games and they're limping into the playoffs. These guys are still going to have, you know, more than just a quarter of the tank left for playoff hockey. So I'm with you. Once you get rid of some of the team rust, I think we're going to see some really good hockey here because, you know, most teams are at full capacity. And listen, you talk about the Columbus Blue Jackets, for example. You know, here's a team that had however many of 450-man games lost during the season. They beat the Boston Bruins last night in their only exhibition game. And I think the most important stat line was, you know, for Columbus was players injured, zero. So that's got to be a positive for that squad.
Jeff Merrick of Sportsnet with us here on Preds Insiders. Jeff, how do you see this Nashville-Arizona series?
Low scoring. Curious about the net mining with the Nashville Predators. I'm waiting for guys to pop. You know me, Ryan. Like, we've talked plenty. Anyone's ever heard me on in Nashville knows. Like, I watch Nashville Predators games. Like, I watch Nashville games. Like, I have a lot of friends in the organization. It's a class organization to deal with. It's always been a classy organization to deal with from day one. It has a really well-earned reputation. You get to a place in your career where you don't cheer for teams. You cheer for people. You cheer for players. And there are so many people and players on this Nashville Predators team that I like and respect and admire. I can't help but, you know, finding myself cheering for the squad, which was wonderful when they went to the Stanley Cup final a couple of years ago and was crossing my fingers they were going to beat the Pittsburgh Penguins, just to see some of those people rewarded. You know, I want Nashville to do well. I think that Arizona now has not the GM level distractions can hurt a team, but this is a pretty big one. Like, if you're Taylor Hall and the Arizona Coyotes, what are you thinking right now? Here we go, more chaos in the front office with the Arizona Coyotes. Do I really want to stay here? What does that mean for his performance in the Stanley Cup playoffs? I don't know, but I'm sure it's not great. So I look at this one and I say, man, if Nashville can turn it on, and we've seen them turn it on before, and they get goaltending, this one might be, I mean, I'm picking Nashville all the way in this one. If the Rubik's Cube can all click together here, this could be a quick one. Because I don't know where the goals are going to come from with the Arizona Coyotes. Put it this way, if you're Nashville, you know, you're John Hines, before the game, you're saying to you guys, here's the systems, here's the game plan. And at the end of it, guys, if you want to win this game, score three goals. Some nights you can get away with scoring two on Arizona and win, but if you score three goals, we're putting this one away.
So let's operate under the assumption that things do come together for this team, that the Jofa line together, you know, for the first time all season long, they click like they did 2 years ago, and they get great goaltending. What is Nashville's ceiling in your mind?
Nashville's in tough. Weston's good, man. Like, and specifically a couple of those teams. Like, I think that, you know, something happened with Vegas after Peter DeBoer took over. You know, they turned into those, you know, the possession monsters again. So that's a real scary team for me. St. Louis had an awful exhibition game against the Chicago Blackhawks, but I have, you know, no doubt that St. Louis is going to make a lot of noise. I've picked Colorado to come out of the West. That's a really good team. Dallas is always an interesting squad. I mean, they sometimes look like world beaters. Other times it looks like they, you know, don't belong in an NHL postseason. It's going to be tough, but if Nashville is going to get there, whether it's, you know, Joe Feline or, you know, Roman Josi channeling his inner Larry Robinson, everything has to come together for this Nashville team to do some significant damage after the preliminary round.
So when you look at the qualifying round as a whole, and you look at the 11-12 seeds in both conferences, in the East and the West, of those four teams, which team of the four do you give the best shot of pulling the upset?
Wow, what a great question.
Yeah, that would be Chicago, Arizona, New York, or Montreal.
See, New York is fascinating because they have some elite-level players. I put Panarin down as my Hart Trophy number one. Mika Zibanejad has proven he's one of the best centers in the Eastern Conference, and the wild card for them is Igor Shesterkin, who is probably going to be the best goaltender in the NHL probably in a couple of years. So I'm leaning towards the New York Rangers, but then I think about Carey Price. And then I think about the body of work that Carey Price has laid before us. And then I think about what Carey Price has been able to do before. I understand that Montreal is going to be in tough to score goals. I get that. And they only have one Philippe Deneau, and they're going to want to put him in every single situation. Like, if there's going to be one player in that series against Pittsburgh that's going to be flat-out exhausted, it's Deneau. Montreal needs about five more of those guys to be a serious contender. But, man, I don't ever want to count out a team that has Carey Price. And I know that it was a 4-2 decision, a loss against the Toronto Maple Leafs on Tuesday, but Carey Price still looks great. Carey Price can steal a series. My head tells me Rangers, out of those four, has the best shot at doing something. And they've owned the Carolina Hurricanes the past however many seasons now. We all know that. But my heart says, if there's going to be a singular performance that dominates the series, don't be surprised if it's Carey Price and the Montreal Canadiens.
What kind of pressure is on Connor McDavid in this postseason?
If there's any pressure, I don't see it, because he's playing the best hockey we've ever seen. Like, I don't know how far Edmonton gets, but the Edmonton Oilers, and Connor McDavid specifically, are frightening. Like, the one thing, and I've watched Connor McDavid since he played, I guess you guys in the States call it youth hockey. We just call it minor hockey in Canada. Since he played youth hockey, I've watched Connor McDavid since he was about 12 years old. And the one thing that he used to always do, either in youth hockey or in junior hockey when he played with the Erie Otters, is he would play with speed. Like, right now, we've seen Connor McDavid, it's go, 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 go. It's fast, 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 fast. In junior hockey, he would grab the puck, skate it about 75%, back up defenseman, he'd hit the neutral zone, he'd slow down a little bit, defenseman would close gap, and when he got close enough, he was gone at 100%, and he'd beat a defenseman like breaking sticks. We haven't seen him play with his speeds yet until now. Like, right now, Connor McDavid looks like he is on a different planet. It's like Connor McDavid is saying, hey, everybody, let me show you what hockey is played like on the planet where I live. Like, that's how good Connor McDavid looks right now. I'm not sure that the bottom six isn't going to hurt more than it's going to help the Edmonton Oilers ultimately. But we talked about how Carey Price can will a team through a round. I think that Connor McDavid can, you know, probably outperform anybody in these playoffs, turn in a Conn Smythe Trophy-type performance, and, you know, probably get his Oilers to at least one, maybe two or three rounds of the playoffs. That's how good Connor McDavid looks right now. Like honestly, Ryan, that no-look goal that he scored against the Flames earlier on this week, was that not a thing of beauty or what?
It was sick.
That's like at a guy that you love to watch athletes hit their stride, and we saw that play this year in the game against the Maple Leafs where he looked like a basketball player, you know, faking inside and going outside on Morgan Riley, and then that no-look goal against the Calgary Flames, and you love seeing athletes hit their stride, and I think that's where Connor McDavid is right now. He's always been skilled, always been fast. Now he really looks comfortable with himself as a pro hockey player.
It is Connor McDavid's world, and we're all just living in it. Jeff Merrick of Sportsnet has been our guest here on Preds Insiders. Jeff, always appreciate the conversations. Love your insight. Thanks for joining us here, and enjoy the all-day action coming up here in the next 10 days.
Sorry, honey. I've got to go do some ironing of the couch with my butt all weekend long. Thanks for letting me talk to you, Ryan, and to all your listeners as well, and everyone who's cheering on the Nashville Predators. Thanks for letting me into your cars or living rooms right now.
Great stuff there, as always, from Jeff Merrick of Sportsnet. Always appreciate him coming on and giving the insight from north of the border. Some great perspective there on the Stanley Cup playoffs that will begin tomorrow at 11 a.m. with the New York Rangers taking on the Carolina Hurricanes at the Hub City of Toronto. Cannot wait for all day action both tomorrow and Sunday and moving forward to the Stanley Cup playoffs. It is so going to feel like March Madness for the Stanley Cup playoffs, and I am here for it. Coming up next, I'll have some bold predictions for the Nashville Predators in this series against the Arizona Coyotes, and my final prediction for this series between the Preds and Coyotes. That's all coming up next on Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Don, what did you think of today's game in terms of the intensity? You had talked yesterday about kind of three things you wanted to see today. How did you feel about the three things you were looking for, specifically the intensity from the team?
Well, it was good. I thought today was a real committed effort by our team, and I really like our mindset. We came in, I think, to a man. There was commitment on both sides of the puck, and nobody dipped their toe in the water, you know, which was nice. I think it was a pretty solid team effort, and we had some positives, obviously, and some negatives in the game. But the number one thing was that, where is our mentality? Where was it going to be, and where's our commitment level going to be? And it was good today.
That was John Hines after the exhibition victory yesterday over the Dallas Stars, 2-0 in the Preds' final tune-up before the best-of-five qualifying series against the Arizona Coyotes, which starts Sunday afternoon. You're listening to Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National App. This is a special edition of Preds Insiders on a Friday evening as we're getting you set for the NHL playoffs, or I should say the Stanley Cup playoffs, which begin in earnest tomorrow, and then Preds-Coyotes Game 1 Sunday, followed by Games 2 and 3 on Tuesday and Wednesday next week. Preds Insiders brought to you every week by Cool Springs Laser Dentistry. For all your dental needs, visit KellyERice.com. Nashville's number one Ford dealer, Wyatt Johnson Ford. Geno's East on the corner of 3rd Avenue and Korean Veterans Boulevard in downtown Nashville. And Osteo Strong, Nashville. One thing that I did want to get to before I get into some predictions for this series between the Preds and the Coyotes. Felt like the Dallas Stars yesterday had a little bit of an agenda against Victor Arvidsson, and they were physical against him. Jason Dickinson had a high hit on Arvidsson in the first period. Ty DeLandria, rookie for the Dallas Stars, had the knee-on-knee hit for Arvidsson, which had all of Smashville holding its collective breath as Arvidsson went back to the bench. He never went back to the locker room, and he never missed a shift. So Victor Arvidsson bouncing right back from that knee-on-knee hit, which was a pretty scary brief moment for everybody in a Preds uniform and everyone here in Middle Tennessee. And I do wonder if that's how Arizona is going to try to play Victor Arvidsson, and if they're going to try to be physical with Victor Arvidsson, because the book is out on 33. If you're physical with Victor Arvidsson, chances are you're going to take him out of his effectiveness. When Victor Arvidsson is zipping around and flying up and down the ice, that's when Victor Arvidsson is the goal scorer that he can be. And he looked a lot more like the goal scorer that he can be yesterday than he did for much of the 19-20 regular season. So I do wonder if the Coyotes, looking at that tape between the Stars and the Preds and knowing the history with Victor Arvidsson, if they say, you know what, let's rough up 33. Let's make him feel every single hit that we lay on him. So an interesting thing to watch starting Sunday in that series between the Preds and the Coyotes. All right, I've got a couple bold predictions for the Preds before I get to my final pick. The number one bold prediction in my mind is that UC Saros is going to be the only goalie to start a game for the Preds in this series. I think he's going to get the game one start, and rightfully so, and I think many are overthinking the Tuesday-Wednesday back-to-back next week for games 2 and 3. I mean, look, you're playing back-to-back games at 12:30 p.m. Edmonton time. I've never played back-to-back games on the ice, but I will say it is not your ordinary back-to-back. It's not like they're flying from Arizona to Denver or from Dallas to St. Louis or from Toronto to Boston and getting in at 3 in the morning and having to then play catch-up with team meetings on short sleep. I mean, they play the game, they go back to the hotel, they rest, they wake up, they play another game. It seems a lot easier to play back-to-back games if you're a goaltender under this format than it would be in a normal regular season where you're playing at home one night and then in Chicago the next night or in Minnesota or, you know, traveling between two of the California cities from Anaheim to San Jose, what have you. So I think UC Saros is going to start every game in the series for the Preds because I think he's going to play well. And if you really like UC Saros's game through two games, whether you're tied 1-1 in the series or you're up 2-0 in the series, if he's playing well, why risk altering the momentum by going to Pekka Rinne just because it's a back-to-back? I would not do that. if I was John Hines, if you like the way UC Saros is playing through two games, you stick with UC Saros in game three. I don't, if the Coyotes are having a hard time scoring goals on him, I don't give the Coyotes this hope of, oh, there's a different goalie between the pipes now. Maybe we have a better shot of getting pucks behind that goalie. So I would stick with Saros throughout the whole series if I was John Hines. And my bold prediction is that UC Saros will be the only goalie to start a game in this series for the Nashville Predators. Another bold prediction is that I think the power play is going to score three goals in this series against a really good Arizona penalty kill. We all remember last year against Dallas in the first round, Preds' power play was 0-15, a complete donut in that series. The power play has been a lost cause for a long time, but the power play looked like they knew what they were doing yesterday. And you have not always been able to say that about this team in the last couple of years. Yes, Arizona's PK is dangerous. They like to be aggressive. They like to score shorthanded goals. But I'm going to go ahead and say that the lack of video on a potentially new power play strategy from John Hines and the Preds is going to lend to the man advantage having some early success in this series. So there's a couple bold predictions, and the way those bold predictions went probably tell you the way I'm going to go with this series. I think the Preds are going to win this series. I think they're going to do it in four games. There are things that worry me about the Arizona Coyotes. They have talent. They have a system that can give the Preds fits. But I don't think Darcy Kuemper is a goalie that is going to, quote, steal a series. I just don't. He's a solid goaltender. I don't want to make this sound like I'm disrespecting Darcy Kuemper, but I don't think he's going to be a goalie that is going to go out there and just steal a series for a Coyotes team that struggles to score goals and really struggled for much of the exhibition game last night against the Vegas Golden Knights. And speaking of the exhibition games, the two games yesterday altered my pick from five games to four because the Preds have to feel really good about the way they played. Arizona cannot say the same thing. Like you said, like you heard Willie Donick say earlier in the show, Rick Tocchet did not like some of the urgency that he's seen in camp. He really could not have liked the urgency that he saw last night out of the Arizona Coyotes, who had like one shot through 19 minutes of play. It at least felt like it. They could not get any zone time against the Golden Knights. And if all of that carries over into game one, the Preds have to have a lot of confidence, and Arizona would be chasing the series, especially if the Preds win game one. So I like yesterday's results favoring the Preds and the fact that I thought this was going to go the distance. I feel a little bit better about this series after what we saw yesterday. And at the end of the day, the Preds are a better team. I've been saying all summer that I'm kind of leaning on teams with the best talent in these series in the qualifying round because a lot of the intangibles are out of the picture. Travel, home environments, pre-existing injuries going into the playoffs like there would have been back in April. All of that's gone. All of these teams are fresh. So I look at a lot of these series as the best talent coming out on top. The Preds have the better talent. Coyotes have talent. Phil Kessel, Taylor Hall, Clayton Keller, don't sleep on him. Oliver Ekman-Larsson. At the end of the day, the Preds have more talent. I like the Preds to win this series in four games. Coming up Sunday, 10 a.m. Preds Extra with Jared Stillman and Chase McCabe leading into Preds Extra. If you have not heard it yet, Game 6 Remastered from the 2017 playoffs. Game 6 Remastered, which we debuted back in May. You'll be able to hear that from 8 to 10 a.m., which leads into Preds Extra from 10 to 12, pregame at 12, and then face-off at 1. And game night on Facebook Live with Chase McCabe and Jeremy K. Gover, and who knows who else will be joining them. They will be live on our Facebook page at The Game Nashville on Facebook with all the live reaction following the post-game show. So plenty of live reaction after every single Preds playoff game here coming up. That's all we have for Preds Insiders this evening. Thank you so much for listening to this special edition of the show. We'll be back Monday with reaction to game one of Preds v. Coyotes. Cannot wait. I know you can't too. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the game. And we will talk to you again on Monday right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.